Hello, everyone. I'm Master Sergeant Gelhar, and you're listening to Beyond the Horizon, a podcast produced by the Ohio Air National Guard 178th Wing right here in Springfield, Ohio. Joining us today is Amy Hernandez, the Director of Psychological Health, the 178th Wing, Captain Jerry Hartman, and Tech Sergeant Dylan Smith, all from the 178th Behavioral Health Team. Hello, everyone. How are you doing today?
Fantastic. Thank you for having us.
Well, hi, Liz. Thanks for having me here today, and I'm really excited to be part of this podcast.
So could each of you just kind of introduce yourself, tell us a little bit about who you are, what your role here is at the 178th, and how did you get involved in your role?
I am the Director of Psychological Health here, which is a fancy title for the full-time social worker or mental health lady here on base. How I got involved in social work is I am retired from the Air National Guard, so it brought me to wanting to be and make a difference, and that's what took me from accounting into social work. And so I went and got my master's in social work, did some work in the field as a trauma social worker, and then the opportunity came to get hired here as the DPH.
Awesome. So you were in the Air National Guard here with one of our geographically separated units, right?
I was. I was in that unit for 15 years, spent a couple years at Springfield, and then retired from the 121st Air Refueling Wing out of Columbus.
Hi. First of all, thank you for having me here. My name is Technical Sergeant Dylan Smith. I'm actually a new folk here. Big part thanks to Amy. Amy was a huge mentor for me, and she actually called me on my way back from drill one day and said, hey, we just put out a mental health technician position. I think it'd be good for you to apply to it. And she was absolutely right. I came on board just last drill. I'm coming from the 179th. I had worked finance over there while I was getting my education.
It's so great to have you here, too. And, you know, I used to be in finance as well, so we're kind of like comrades here, starting in one place and ending up somewhere else.
Well, I always joke that finance is the most thankless job in all of the Air Force. So anybody listening to this, make sure you say thank you to a finance troop because they probably need it.
I love it. Little shameless plug. I appreciate that.
I just got recently graduated with my master's in military social work and got my license. Very similar to Amy's story. I was active duty back in 2016, 2017 range when I was deployed. I had lost a wingman, and just kind of processing that, I realized I wanted to kind of get into a line of work that could either help military folks or veterans. So I got out of active duty, went to school for my psychology degree, and then with the help of Amy kind of saw what that would kind of look like if I wanted to do it for the Big Blue Air Force. So I decided to go with social work. I am very, very happy to be here.
Good morning, and I'll echo thanks for having us on today. My journey to the 178th Medical Group covers multiple decades. By that, I'm going to say that I separated from the Air National Guard in 1991. At the time, I'd used the GI Bill to go to school, obviously, and study psychology and social work. From there, I became a licensed social worker. From there, I became a therapist, and I've been a therapist for 30-plus years, specializing in trauma. So a couple years ago, I reached out to the 178th, and Colonel Kennedy actually responded and says, kind of funny that you're asking, you know, about a social work position now, because there's never been one that existed, and that's pretty much why I separated. I was in fire protection. Nothing really in my field that had to do with the Air National Guard, so that's pretty much why I separated back in 91. And 2 years ago, he said, I have a manning document on my desk as we're speaking now that is calling for a behavioral health team, and we're looking for a clinical social worker. And I think you might be right for the role given your experience in building programs and trauma in general. That's really what prompted me to want to come back into the military, seeing all the statistics on service members that obviously, you know, that were dying by suicide or, you know, other means related to some of the things they men experienced while being in the service. So I wanted to give back in some shape or form based upon the experiences and training I've had.
You know, it's really great to hear the background of, you know, how everybody got where they are here today. And it seems like a lot of life experiences and just kind of a heart for service is what brought you here today. So I have to thank you for, you know, everything that you do as well. So tell me a little bit about what your mission is at the 178th for our Air National Guard members.
So I'll speak to the DPH program, and I'll let Captain Hartman give just a brief overview of the new development for our behavioral health team. So back 11 years ago, the Air Force or the National Guard, some entity within the Department of Defense said, you know, we need to give this opportunity and some place for our airmen to go just have a place to talk, check in, just right there. They started with contractors, and then 7 years ago, they moved into a federal position to be just that resource as consultation for leadership, consultation for airmen, short-term solution-focused counseling for airmen, case management, crisis intervention, if needed, and also providing, you know, classes and community outreach to educate and bring education services within to the wing for our airmen to help just enhance their lives.
I'll echo on what Amy had said. Mostly I see our role as pre-deployment, deployment, and post-deployment support for our service members and their families. We're such a relatively new program. We're the only one in the state right now, and I think there's only a handful across the nation in Air National Guard units. So we're building it as we go, and hopefully we find our niche and our role to be of the most value to not only our wing, but also, you know, to the Air National Guard in general.
So tell me a little bit about what mental health is and why is it so important?
Sure. I think mental health is an important part of our overall comprehensive health. I think only in recent years, folks have kind of started to see your mental health is as important as your physical health. You know, you're going through a lot of life stressors, you got a lot on your plate, it could add up. And more importantly, just like if you were lifting a bunch, running a bunch, and you try to go out, overexert yourself, you might get hurt. And I think mental health is as important as physical health. It's really great to see in recent years here, with everything from athletes to actors, influencers, even now into our services, that individuals are putting mental health on a pedestal and kind of normalizing that it is just part of our overall health.
I think mental health nowadays used to equate to just the absence of a mental health disorder, and that's how it kind of been portrayed. But mental health really encompasses our thoughts, our feelings, our behaviors, our relationships, and just our ability to be resilient when we're presented with stressful situations. And so it's taken on kind of a more of a proactive of role, as opposed to this is something that just happened and this is the only time we talk about it is when, you know, there's an issue or a problem.
Yeah, absolutely. So kind of the development of this new behavioral health team is showing that the Air Force is coming down and saying, hey, we want to make this a priority for our members and we want to make sure that they have these resources available.
Absolutely.
So May is Mental Health Awareness Month. Can you talk a little bit about the initiatives that the wing has?
So the wing has many initiatives we're going to do this month. And one of them is there's some messaging that has gone out on our Air Force Connect with this kind of our messaging app that the airmen here can get. And the first message that I put out was about April showers bringing May flowers. And May is Mental Health Awareness Month. So May is a time to grow. And when we look at Mental Health Awareness Month, it's a time for us to kind of take in those showers that we've been experiencing over the last couple years and kind of grow with that and see where we move from that. So here at the Wing is that we have some weekly Wellness Wednesday initiatives. So the first week, the challenge was, you know, we all need to connect, give somebody else a positive feedback on something, or just drop and do something nice. So the challenge was to do a random act of kindness for someone else in your shop, someone else here, because when we do something nice for someone else, and then we experience something nice, it really builds us both up. It gives us both that sense of connection. The second week we had, which was just this last week, laughter. Laughter is one of the best medicines. So laughter also causes us to breathe in, get more oxygen in our lungs. It can help with our central nervous system and in our breathing and our calming our system down and relaxes us. So laughter this week's challenge had been to tell a dad joke or tell a funny joke. And I know one of the commanders told me that she brought in a joke, like stupid joke book, and told jokes to our airmen at one of her meetings. You know, it was to wear a shirt that had like a funny saying that, you know, would just make someone else say, oh my gosh, that just made me smile today and laugh. So our next week is we have a therapy type dog program here, call it the AAA dog program here. And we're going to have some of our handler teams out here with their dogs this next week to bring that pet to work. And the last week is really about just focusing on self. We have some relaxation classes available, making those little minute changes within ourselves. We also, over this weekend, had a mindfulness class available that if airmen wanted to attend. So that's what we've been doing here at the Wing.
So you brought up silly jokes. Of course, I'm going to have to ask if anybody in here has a great joke that you can tell us.
Well, I'm going to steal from Colonel Fago, because when I said April showers bring May flowers, and then he said to me, what does Mayflowers bring? And at first, I was like, yard work? But really, Mayflowers bring pilgrims. So April showers bring Mayflowers, and the Mayflowers bring pilgrims.
You know, that's a great joke, Abby. I was sitting here trying to think of one myself, and I was trying to think about a good joke about a chair. I'd have been sitting on it for a while.
Okay. All right. We got it. I did ask for silly jokes. That's what I got. Captain, you got any good dad jokes for us?
I don't. I want to add something about mental health awareness month, though, if I can. Just,
of course.
The main takeaway from Mental Health Awareness Month is basically to raise awareness and support and reducing the stigma involved with mental health. That's kind of been the main mission all along since, I believe, 1949 is when this started. So it's been a national initiative since then. And it's great to see what the wing is doing on a more more personal basis for our airmen.
All right, Amy. So one of the initiatives you also talked about was the AAA program. I've read a lot of articles on this. And isn't it proven that just the act of seeing an animal or the act of petting an animal is a stress reducer?
I agree, Liz. Liz, it does. When you see an animal, you know, when I see one out here, or I go home to my own pet and they jump up and they're happy to see me after a rough day, it just really does lift our spirits to have them. And it's a protective factor that we can have, too, within our lives, because we have that animal there and it protects us and keeps us safe and gives us that comfort that we may be missing somewhere else.
Yeah, I remember one of the first videos that Colonel Fago did was in his office, and he addressed all of the airmen on the base, and he had a fish in a fishbowl right there, dead center in that video. And I just remember tons and tons of people talking about how that made them smile, just seeing a fish in the video.
Definitely. And he goes out of town and he leaves a strict feeding schedule for his fish. I know when he lost one a few years back, he had like a burial and a funeral for his fish. So you know, it's just even a fish, you know, having that fish is important. He also has a new pet. I'm not going to tell you what his new pet is in his office. For those of you that want to reach out and just go by him and say, hey, I want to know what other pet you have in your office other than your fish. You know, take that time to use that open door policy and go check out his new pet he has in his office.
All right. We're going to have to leave that one a mystery for you to go out there and find out. I'm going to have to go do that myself. So how would you say that your role has helped airmen, or how can your program help airmen with mental health concerns?
So one of the roles of the DPH at the different wings, so there's one at every single wing, is we are a confidential resource for our airmen to come in and have privacy, private conversation. It doesn't leave our office. The only time it would leave our office is if there's a concern for harm to self, harm to others, or harm to mission. And those are clinical licensure requirements. Even out in the community, if there's a harm to self, harm to other issue, then that's what we as social workers have to do in the community. So it really is a private space to just come vent, come talk about, hey, I'm not sleeping. I can tell you with Captain Hartman and I, we were there to in process, and we meet with prior to a deployment and post-deployment, including the OAW and the hospital missions. We met with each airman and we talk about, hey, these are some things that you might feel. These are some things you might experience. These are some normal processes that happen. If they feel these or are experiencing these and they're becoming a problem for you, please reach out to us. Or if you just want to talk about them further, reach out to us and we can talk about them. So we're a good place to just come and talk about, hey, this is what's going on. But not only for themselves. I have many people that come or call me about a friend in the community, or they call me about a fellow airman, and that's, it's how can I support them? What can I do? How can I link them? Do you know about a service I can and provide for my friend? And, you know, I'll look it up or reach out to a colleague. I've reached out to colleagues in other states, in Texas, New York, Washington, D.C., you know, to get those right resources that in other states that they might need to assist them. So that's one of the major roles of how I can assist someone with something that they might be feeling challenged with.
Absolutely. So I know that I can attest, hanging out with Amy when I used to work across the hall from her, she got to be graced with my presence quite often to help kind of have little vent sessions and work through some things. So that's really great. Captain Hartman, can you tell us a little bit maybe about I know that the behavioral health team is kind of a newer, but what is the vision of what that's going to look like for our airmen here?
Yes, we are definitely a new program. And like I said, we're kind of finding our niche. But mostly it's following Amy's lead and everything that she's built here with the wing and being able to plug in services and our expertise in addition to those things. Possibly a lot of prevention type services, like I said, pre, post deployment, even possibly even deployment, being available in-house that doesn't really have the negative stereotype of I need to go see a professional or anything like that. It could be somebody just that needs to bounce an idea off somebody else, and knowing that we have that expertise and that we understand and that we are a part of the same group.
And I am so excited that we were one of the wings that were selected for a behavioral health team, because it just adds another layer to how do we assist our airmen. And sometimes our airmen do have needs, because the behavioral health team is embedded into medical. So there are medical assets. So sometimes there's needs that are medically related, that it needs case management or following, or they need to understand how is this going to impact my career. And that's going to be a great resource that we're going to have right there in medical. And also for that team to be able to educate the other medical team, the other medical providers, as that subject matter expert to go to and say, hey, this is what I'm getting in this documentation. This is what an airman has submitted. What does this look like? How do I interpret this? Because Captain Hartman and the mental health team are the subject matter experts for mental health and how that would or would not impact someone's readiness. So having them there versus having to go to WrightPat to manage those situations is such an amazing thing that we're going to have developed here within our wing and be lucky to have.
So you mentioned that the 178th was selected to have a behavioral health team here. Do you know about how many of those in the nation were selected?
I believe there's about 13 to 17, so I don't want to say exactly. So the how it was selected is you had to be close to an MTF or be co-located with an MTF. That's how we ended up being one of the facilities or the wings that got selected for a behavioral health team.
So for our listeners who may not be super savvy with our military acronyms, can you tell us what an MTF is?
So that's a military treatment facility. So we're right next to WrightPat. And so the military treatment facility is right there on WrightPat. They have, you know, all the medical clinics, and they also have behavioral health, mental health floor, ADAPT, alcohol program floor. They have family advocacy there. They have some other aspects that go on there.
To add to all the great things that both Amy and Captain Hartman have said here, you know, I always explain it to my civilian friends that it's our whole airman concept. You know, destigmatizing mental health, that's contributing towards being the best wingmen we can be and contributing towards being airmen. I mean, it's in our core values. You know, there's not a single one of the core values that destigmatizing mental health doesn't fall into.
So we've talked a lot about what airmen should know about your program. What should leadership at the various levels here at the 178th understand or know about your program as well?
So what I think I want to lead into that with what leadership for mental health. So we know that the Air Force and Chief Bass and General Brown put out that article about Airman's Time. And so I'm going to read from that. That's what I think leadership should think about. As leaders, what do we do? How do we help our airmen? It's said in there specifically, man teams own the culture and climate in their organization, and it is best shaped through engagement. The intent of the Airman's Time is to create a safe space to be present and ensure that our Air Force culture invites healthy conversation for every airman, anytime, anywhere. Many of you may ask, where do we begin and how do we do that? That's the question about Airman Time and what do we do as leaders. And so leaders are the ones that start that. The ask is, what do you do when an airman asks for help? You know, what do you do? How do you create an environment that they come to ask for help for? You know, those are the things as leaders, because sometimes leaders, we get in our own way. We get in our own way because of our ego or just really aren't comfortable talking about suicide prevention, sexual assault, mental health, domestic violence, you know, a moral injury. So moral injury is what we see is really what's impacting our military and our veterans, is the moral injury from what they experienced or saw in service. And so our lack of knowledge is sometimes what keeps us from being able to do that time, do that command support, create that climate that they're talking about. Because it's easy to say, hey, let's create a healthy climate, but how do we do that? Are there steps to that? You know, I challenge leaders to become more knowledgeable. If you aren't comfortable, to reach out to, you know, members of the behavioral health team, myself, or asking asking us to come speak to your leaders, come do those things to help develop their skills. Because it's easy to say, let's have conversations, let's get to know our airmen, let's get connected. But actually having that act of getting connected is important. And so sharing testimonials, leadership sharing testimonials of their experience, what they've done to take care of their own mental health is important to say. Whether it's, you know, I go running and I exercise, I get enough sleep, I do yoga, I've talked to a counselor, I've reached out to many services, the Chaplain Corps is a great core program to go talk to, and our Airman and Family Readiness Program. Those are just a couple of the resources we have out here. And so as leaders, taking the opportunity to utilize those, and don't get your own way. Watch the messaging you're giving, because we follow, just like we teach our kids, we follow what adults do. We teach the airmen out here to follow what a leadership does. So when we're having prevention trainings and required trainings, and so the messaging you give out, because I've heard it after I've given a training, I've heard leaders say, I don't even know why we do this, or complaining down to other airmen about suicide prevention when we do it because we're looking to prevent. And so watching our messaging we give out is important.
Yeah, you know, I've been involved in the sexual assault response team for several years. And one of the biggest things, takeaways that, you know, it's great to know your strengths, but one of the biggest things to be a great leader is to also know your weaknesses. So when you're not comfortable having those conversations, or you're not comfortable in a situation, knowing who those resources are and who to go to and talk to. And that's what your team is here to do. You're here to be that resource for them so that they don't have to. And I think that's a really great thing that we offer here. What are some ways that our members can help kind of maintain and assess good mental health?
I think the key thing there is self-care. Self-care is often neglected, especially when you add in the mountainous responsibilities that come with being in the military. You neglect your sleep, maybe, or you choose to maybe go for some fast food instead of eating your leafy greens. Those little things that don't seem like a big deal add up. Maybe it could be that you enjoyed watching movies, but, you know, hey, work's got me kind of in a rut. I don't have time for that. Those little things add up. Self-care is huge. Now, that's not saying, you know, go out and go to the buffet every day necessarily, but at the same token, you know, maybe finding that spa day, maybe taking that day of leave that you've been saying, maybe I should, maybe I shouldn't, go traveling with the family, just whatever self-care looks like to you, that is a very key part of your mental health.
All right, so let's get a little personal. Tell me a little bit about what type of self-care you do.
You know, I love to go do something completely out of the realm of having to think too hard. But I like to go do things with my hands. I like to go just learn something new. So I took a clay class and I made a pot, and I was there with a friend who did not follow the rules. Looks like it may look like it came from her 5-year-old from school, but it just made me laugh so hard. Who knows if my pot will come back after it's fired that looks great or not, but I like to just go out and do something and learn something and do something with my hands. And that's kind of what I do for self-care. And I challenge other people to do it this month. So I made an effort to go do something new this month to just be together with others and laugh.
I'd say for me, it's a combination of running and playing video games with my friends online. I know video games can seem a little taboo for some folks, but I know whenever I'm having a rough day, I could always rely on my buddies to, you know, sit down and play some games with me. And usually throughout that process, we get to talk about kind of what's going on. And it works vice versa. You know, you socialize with your friends enough, you can tell when something's up, and, you know, that's being a wingman on and off duty, really is. So I consider myself very grateful that I have my friends to do that.
I think the biggest thing about self-care is being honest with ourselves. If we kind of notice we're not eating or sleeping, or we're pushing people away, things like that, these little signs that we kind of discussed earlier, and just being honest or being open to the feedback of people that are close to us saying, hey, you're more irritable, you're more withdrawn. And being open to that feedback and taking that and doing something about it. If we don't do anything about it, it's not going to get any better. And the weird thing is those things that we were doing were keeping us healthy. If we're practicing good, you know, sleep hygiene or a good diet, or we're exercising regularly, or we have those support people in our lives that we depend on. If little by little we're closing all those things out or doing, you know, the unhealthy version of those things, we are going to find ourselves eventually in a crisis. And just being open and honest with those things. One thing that, you know, Tech Sergeant Smith had mentioned was video games. Those do get a bad rap, but that's a dissociative thing. Sometimes we need to check out from real life for a moment, and video games is one way of doing that. We all dissociate in some shape or form when we're driving or doing other things that seem mindless, but they're actually our brain's way of resetting itself. And by doing like pattern repetitive and movement-based things, we get our cardio up, and those are all great things too. We're releasing endorphins, you know, all those fun things that just seem common sense, but they're really a big part of maintaining mental health. One thing that my wife and I really enjoy doing is obviously being outside and doing things like that, but we like going to places that are haunted and just enjoying the environment of a haunted hotel or a business or something like that. Again, it's doing something with somebody that you care about and sharing things like that. One thing I know for sure that trauma does, it kind of narrows your world a little bit. You withdraw within yourself, and that's one thing that is needed, is those connections that we have in life to keep us healthy.
All right, so haunted things to me seem like the complete opposite of self-care, I'm not going to lie. But you have to tell us, what was one of your favorite places that you have been?
The Stanley Hotel out in Estes Park, Colorado, where Stephen King wrote The Shining. First 5 minutes we walk in, we haven't even taking our bags off yet. We just set them down, and I started kind of doing something I probably shouldn't have. And we were told it's the most haunted room in the hotel, of an entirely haunted hotel. This is the most haunted room in this hotel. So I went in and started provoking, and within a couple minutes, all the faucets in the bathroom turned on. The water started coming out of them, and that was how we began our weekend there. So
you stayed there? You slept?
Oh, absolutely.
At that hotel?
We seek haunted hotels out to stay in.
Oh, okay. I don't even watch scary movies. So I think that would cause me lack of sleep, and then, you know, I would then become irritable. So I'm glad that you get a chuckle out of that. So everybody has their own type of self-care.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a really great point. You know, I think something that goes along with self-care is that self-awareness. Like, what do I need right now? You know, whether that is some type of spiritual self-care or mental health care, physical or emotional. You know, kind of finding out what works for you is best, because obviously not all the same things work for everybody. So we've talked a lot about our own awareness of mental health. But do you have some tips on checking in on our wingmen? Being mostly drill status guardmen, we don't see each other throughout the month. So what are some tips on staying connected, ensuring that our team is having great mental health?
I think it's normalizing those check-ins, not making it feel forced, you know, like, hey, this is my one time a month I'm saying, oh, hey, Captain Hartman, how are you? Everything okay? It's based off of comfort levels. Maybe if an email, a quick text, even just something, just knowing that you're there for your wingman. And also, once you know your wingman, kind of picking up on signs, you know, like, just if you make a comfortable environment, more times than not, people are going to be like, hey, Captain Hartman, I'm going through something right now. Can we talk about it? And then when that happens, understanding that, yes, there's the hustle and bustle, especially on drill weekends, but like in Captain Hartman's shoes, to be like, okay, yeah, Sergeant Smith, let's go, maybe in like 20 minutes or 30 minutes, like not necessarily like brushing it off, kind of going to what both Amy and Captain Hartman have been saying, kind of having like intention behind what you're saying and making sure that you're phrasing things in a very mental health positive way.
Those are great points, and I think I come back to more and being just genuine, knowing people's tells, you know, knowing their personality, if something's off, and to be genuinely concerned and to ask. Don't be afraid to ask that you're going to make things worse. You won't, and actually it might be an invitation that's very welcome. It just may not seem that way at the time. And the other part is, don't be afraid to get involved. I think that's our biggest thing is, you know, human nature says, well, that's not my problem, or I got my own things I need to do. If I'm genuinely concerned and care about somebody, I think I owe it to them, not only as a wingman, but as a decent human being, to step in and try to help to the best of my ability. And that might mean encourage them to go talk to somebody else that is in their wheelhouse, that is their expertise, because I may not be able to fix it. I may not have to fix it. I just might need to notice. That might be the first step.
So I'm the type of person where my mind is going a million miles a minute with all of my to-dos and getting busy in the day-to-day life. And something that I like to do, and this is going to kind of wrap myself out here, put in my planner an appointment to check in with people, just to make sure that I'm making that time and reminding myself to do that. What are some things that you personally do to help kind of check in with your family, your friends, your loved ones, your wingmen out here?
Kind of a empathic person. So if I know if I'm getting pulled into my own world of things to do, and I know that somebody else is trying to manage other things or deal with other things, to put myself in their shoes, what would they need in that moment? You know, maybe it is a 5-minute phone call, and kind of give myself brain breaks throughout the day. Not that I have to go out and run or do, you know, heavy exercise or anything, like just walking away from the computer or walking away from, or just moving, doing something different, breaking that routine, stretching, doing all kind of things, or just, you know, getting a snack. I don't know. Things that you build into your own day, and then you can be part of somebody else's day as well.
Thanks so much for sharing that with me. You know, it's interesting to see that we have, you know, these different personalities and different ways of doing things and finding ways that work for us to make sure that that time and those things are happening. What are some of the resources here at the 178th for our airmen seeking assistance that you would recommend?
So you have your first sergeant, you have your supervisor, you have your commander. So I'm going to start with those resources. You have your wingman. So those resources right in your work center. Outside, we have a whole support network. We have the EEO. We have the IG office, the chaplain's office. We have, you know, finances is a big stressor. We have the personal financial counselor here on base. We have the SAPR program, and that's our sexual assault response coordinator, Mr. Bolton is here. We have the Airman Family Readiness that is there for, you know, your family, your family's needs, and that's what they're there for. You have myself, the DPH, that I'm there to come listen, connect you to resources, and those are some of the resources we have here. And the chaplain, the SARC, and myself are all in the hallway right near finance, and so you can find us there. Some outside of the wing, so I want to talk a little bit outside of the wing, is there's resources outside of the wing. One of the major resources, Military One Source, which was, it's kind of like employee assistance program for the military. They have, and we talk about wellness, they have wellness coaches on there. So you can go for counseling, but they also have this wellness coach program. They have a marriage coach program that they have, where you can call and go through these coaching classes, because we could all use a little boost within our marriages and remind us, you know, what we love about each other. And so there's that. There's military family life counselors that are located at Wright Patt. There is so many different resources out there, and you can talk to family programs, the chaplain, myself, and just figure out which is a good place for you to go to get those resources.
Wow, that is amazing. There are a lot of really great resources out there. Thank you, Amy, for sharing those with us. How can airmen contact your office or find out information about those different resources?
So we have a SharePoint page, Director of Psychological Health page. There is a suicide prevention page. The SAPR has a page. Family Programs has a page. The SAPR SARC has a page. The Chaplain Office has a page. If you go to SharePoint, there is a contact list for base that has all our contact information. The Wing app has our contact information on there. Download that Air Force Connect app, because you'll be able to find all of the base resource apps on there. But my direct number is 937-327-2057. I also have a cell phone, and it is 937-605-5081. Don't hesitate to give me a call, and I will help connect you where you need to go, or one of the other support agencies will help connect you. If it's back to me or it's to them, we can connect you to what you need to help yourself, help your airmen, help family members, or even friends. We're here to help you, to help relieve those stressors that might be impacting your life.
That's great. So if any of our listeners are driving at this time, or you're washing your dog, don't worry. We'll be able to put those numbers in the description to make that nice and easy for you when you get to a safe space. So we've talked about mental health awareness, some self-care, and different resources we have here available on the base. Is there any messaging that you want to get out to our airmen? Some last final words?
Yes. First and foremost, thank you for your time here today. With this being Mental Health Awareness Month, I believe that mental health shouldn't only be considered in May. We should take this forward into the other months as well. I think I speak on behalf of everybody here in this room that one suicide death is one too many for our brothers and sisters in arms. So look out for each other, look out for yourselves, and remember that that is what being an airman is. It's what being a wingman is as well.
Absolutely. One loss is one too many for sure.
When we talk about Mental Health Awareness Month, and we're talking about this, you know, doing this podcast and Mental Health Awareness Month, we take this time this month to help make those changes for the rest of the months in our year. And so take this time as your starting point. You know, we talk about fitness, and it takes so many weeks to get that change in your. So use this month to take the opportunity to make changes within your life or share. So if you hear something that you know, resonates with you, or you learn something new, share out with your fellow airmen or family and friends, because when we share those things, we help impact other people and we help improve their mental health also.
I would just want to add, take care of yourselves and each other.
Thank you all so much for coming out and talking to us about what a really important subject this is and what type of resources we have for our airmen out here.
You're very welcome. Thanks for having us.
Today we discussed Mental Health Awareness Month, the role of our mental health team here at the 178, and resources available to our airmen. As mentioned before, all of those resources will be available in the description if you need them. Mental health.
May.
Oh, shoot. It is May.